Boom, we are live, motherfuckers, on a whole different goddamn link. Another fucking bullshit problem with this app that I have. And now I gotta send the other guys the link. Where the fuck did the link go? Oh, I'm sorry, guys. This is some fucking trash, man. I am so mad right now. I've never been more pissed in my entire fucking life. This is just fucking trash. Absolute trash. Motherfuckers on a whole different goddamn link. Now I gotta send it to the other guys that are watching the other one. Fuck! The other one. We are now at this link. There's three people fucking waiting. Jesus. All right, so here's the fucking link.
All right, you texting it?
I'm texting it to you, yeah.
Sounds good.
I'm so freaking mad right now. I'm so freaking mad right now.
Here we go. Copy.
All right. I don't know how, if anybody else is joining in or not. I'm not on Facebook. I can't do it on Facebook. We just had a problem with God, I wanted to start this one smoothly, too, and I'm so fucking pissed. Now I got to make another post on Instagram. Sorry, guys. Hang on. Oh, you are a piece of shit. Well, this is a podcast I'm going to have to edit later. I'm going to have to edit this one now. Oh, no.
All right. Shared it there.
Jeff, when you're done, do you want to talk to the audience real quick?
Sure.
Let me put you on camera. Maybe you can, you know what? How's this, guys? We got three people watching right now. I'm glad you guys are here. I'm going to try to post the link on my Instagram to see if there was other people that might have messed up or might be on the other one. So, but in the meantime, let's introduce Jeff Horst with some of his stand-up comedy. I love Jeff. Jeff is he's the man, you know. He's a hilarious comedian.
Thank you.
Who really, really, like, you know, is trailblazing the way of, like, getting the message out. Getting the real message out, you know, about racial inequality. And, good Lord, now this link's not working. Wow, I wonder if there's ever going to be a day that I'm going to have no problems. This is the tradition. This is my 11th episode, and it starts off with, sorry, guys, every fucking time. I drink yerba mate.
To calm down. And
To make my brain smarter, and I'm still fucking stupid.
Well, technology can't, tea can't fix the technology.
You sound like my mom.
You know,
you sound like my mom would say. My mom's like, "It's okay, honey.
It's okay.
You
honey.
Can't fix technology."
That's the balance. We can't. We can't both be angry. If you would, I would have picked the angry. I would have been the other guy if you were too calm. You know, I'm just trying to balance it out. You know,
shut up, Jeff. Let's watch it. Let's watch your damn video, man. I'm trying to pull this thing up. All right, share screen. Will that work? It works. Yay. All right, let's play this.
And in different cultures. And I learned something about white people. I learned that we invented credit. And like taking credit for things that, like, maybe you shouldn't have. And this is how it started, I think. I think, like, one day... We saw another race with some really cool invention. And we got a little nosy, and we were like, hey, who invented this thing? And they were just like, well, it doesn't matter who made it. What matters is we can all use it and appreciate it. And we were like, oh. Well, if it doesn't matter who made it, let's just say white people made it. I'm going to write white man on the bottom of this. And we've used this logic for many inventions in history. Like, I don't know, like rock and roll, Jesus, you name it. And and that logic is kind of how white people got to this country. Like, one day we were like, hey, Indians. And they were like, who's that? We're like, it's you guys. Hey, Indians, whose land is this? And they were like, what? Nobody owns this land. And we were like, oh. Well, if nobody owns this land, let's just say white people own this land. As a matter of fact, you need to get off my land.
Grew up watching a lot of cartoons too, man. And I love different cartoons, but when you watch them as an adult, sometimes you realize that the show had a different meaning than you thought it did. Like Scooby-Doo. I just now realized the truth behind that show. Scooby-Doo is a show that shows you how far white people go to snitch.
I love this bit.
They're solving mysteries nobody's paying them to solve. They're just on like a tattletaling tour of the world. Guys, I'm from Detroit. Scooby-Doo would never work in Detroit. Jinkies, I know who robbed the liquor store. Bam, now you're dead, bitch. You understand this? What I love the most about that joke is that the more white people I tell that joke in front of, the more that I notice how many white people have never even heard of the stereotype that white people are a bunch of tattletales. Yet those same people don't think white privilege is real. That seems to be like a pretty cool advantage that I got, to not be aware of negative things other people think about me, and I'm pretty sure that's exclusive to white people. Black people do not have any questions of the negative things white people have said about them. You're not gonna have a conversation with a black dude and it ends with him saying, hold on, white people have been saying what about us? How long has that been going on?
Thank you for watching, and check
all
out
right.
Republic Yemeni number one.
Yeah, we are here with my boy, Jeff Horace. What up, Jeff?
What's up?
Good to have you here, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, thanks for dealing with my stupid technical difficulties.
It's fine.
I think I'm going to have to do it all the time now.
Okay.
I think I'm going to have to now just have technical difficulties.
You know it'll be tradition.
Tradition, that's the thing. Tradition is everything, isn't it?
It's something.
Now I'm mad about how the camera angles are. I hate it now. I'm mad. I want to go stop the podcast and fix the camera angles.
You want me to just blab about life while you can you fix it while it's live?
That's all I've been doing on this show. Half the time people watch this show, I'm just sitting here fixing cameras and shit. So I'm like, ugh, I'm gonna figure this thing out, man. I tried a new setting. Like, it asked me if I wanted to do ultra low latency, and I was like, sure, I'll try ultra low latency.
Sounds cool.
Yeah. What? I looked it up. It says it's supposed to be like faster, meaning that like the latency is like slower, meaning that there's no delay.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tried it, and then I go to hit the button to go live, and it's just like, you set up ultra low latency. You can't do this. Ha ha. And then they don't give you no option to change it.
I love the personality that you gave.
That's what computer. It feels like to me. It feels like a fucking
ha ha.
Ha ha. Come and get me. Kill me. You're going to have to break your laptop. Ha ha. Fucking piece of shit. It makes me so mad, dude. I don't know. Anyways, it's just one day, man. All I ask is for me to be able to, like, I don't know, get this thing set up properly.
have no technological issues and for 24 hours, that sounds like a good day.
Yeah, see, I don't like the way this is looking right now.
Ah, want me to move?
You should just leave. The fuck out of here, Jeff. All right. Well, let's just get this rolling, man. This is it's good to have you here, brother.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. We were talking earlier about a bunch of stuff, and you know, why don't we just touch base like with you, man? What's up with you? Let's the audience know who you are.
Name is Jeff Horst. I am from Southfield, Michigan, and I say I'm from Detroit, Michigan, so people don't get confused. Because there's suburbs of Detroit that are all white, and when somebody says they're from a suburb of Detroit, they picture a spoiled white kid who grew up with money who wants to pretend that he's from Detroit.
Exactly.
But then I have audiences get confused as to why I care about race and why I'm bringing that up, because they don't know that Southfield is a suburb of Detroit that's touching Detroit that is still a majority black city. So I still grew up as like the token white kid in my neighborhood and in my community. So that's kind of, you know, I was a couple of blocks on the Southfield side of 8 Mile. So that was that's where I grew up.
You said 8 Mile, and then people just and people happy. Just, people, they they're like, oh, you 8 Mile? Ooh, you Eminem. You the Eminem of comedy?
Or, yeah. Or some people go too far the other way. Like, I'll talk to a white dude who will be like, oh, like, they'll just see I'm white and you're white, and they'll just talk to me like, they'll just overly shit on Detroit. Like, they think that, like, I'm fine with that, and that's just weird, too.
Or be racist.
Yeah, yeah, just comfortably racist.
That like, happens to
you
Arabs.
You look the same as me, so you must hate the same people I hate. That's what a lot of people think. It's weird.
But don't you know that there is this... Bro. For so long, racist white people, when I grew up, always felt safe to say the N-word around me. They would always... felt safe to say racist shit about black people around me because I was
Arab. They're
like,
well, you're not black.
And they just assume so... all Arabs hate black people.
Wow. That's a it's a big leap.
And I know. Well, I don't know about if it's a big leap. I think that the early Arabs that came to Dearborn, Michigan were kind of like your typical immigrants. They come in here. They want to assimilate. And then they look at it as, oh, black people are looked down on. Well, we're not black people. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? So then, so the early immigrants to Dearborn were kind of anti-black for a short period of time. Now that's changed through basketball. Basketball brought Arabs and black people together. Especially with my buddy who started Hype Athletics.
Okay.
He started that because they would do those... remember those basketball tournaments they used to do? Was it called one up, one something? It was a very a popular basketball tournament that go around the country. But then, like the Arabs and black
and
people,
and one,
and then they a lot of the blacks and Arabs would get into fights, racial fights. Especially, I remember growing up in Dearborn, man, they would have some brawls.
In basketball,
black people against Arabs.
Sounds like a corny movie of basketball brought everybody together.
I know, right? But it's true though. And then my buddy Billy and a bunch of other Arabs started Hype Athletics specifically to bring those two groups together to be able to play and not fucking fight and shit. But that was years ago, man. But back then, man, white people would look at me and be like, hey, man, you know those fucking black people and blah, blah, blah. And then I would have to be like, why do they got to be black? And then they're like, oh, shit, I fucked up. Oh, no, I was racist in front of the wrong Arab guy.
Yeah. And then there's so many racist white people that, you know, I can understand why black people could be sensitive and assume that you're a racist white guy. Like, so I've started jokes where I was mentioning that the story involves me and a black friend of mine, and that's how like the joke starts, and people think that I'm telling like a street joke, like they think it's a made up thing. So I remember one of the first times I did comedy where somebody's like, why does he got to be black? And I'm like, because this is a real story and his parents are black and they fucked and made a black kid. I don't know what do you want from me. That's how because he exists in real life. He's really a real person. That's what he. They're like, oh, my bad, I thought you were just talking. And I was like, okay. Just wait till the end of the joke, and then if you decide I'm racist, do whatever the fuck you want. But hear the joke out, especially if you don't hear like obvious racial slurs. If it's not obviously racist,
exactly right.
then it's because some people, I think that and that's what you hear a lot of people talk about that in like college towns, of like where they learn what the right answer is, yeah, but they don't know context, so they're just like, racism's bad. And I'm like, that's true. And it's like, but it's like, so me and a black friend of mine, and they get quiet, and I'm just like, there's mentioning races that exist isn't racist.
Yes, it is. No, it is. We looked it up.
We looked it up. Mentioning,
you know, Jeremy Scipio?
No,
he's a comic, and we were on here and we were talking about it, and he was like, just acknowledging that they're different races is racism. And I'm like, what? So we looked up the definition, and then the first definition was, of course, keeping people down with racism, right? All these negative definitions, and then one of them is just acknowledging the different races. So basically, if I go, hey, Jeff, guess what, bro? You know Lebanese people? They make the best Lebanese food. Racist. Fucking racist.
I wonder if that's one of those definitions that, like, the world is just like, yeah, that, like, those crazy laws where they're like, you know, in Louisiana, you can't get your hair cut on a Tuesday, or, you know, like, those weird laws. Yeah, like, that's how I feel about that definition.
You can only fuck a donkey in March.
Yeah. I feel like that's the I feel like everybody would be like, that sounds weird.
Yeah.
If we all think that sounds weird, then why is that still the definition?
That's what I'm saying.
Shouldn't
the
majority rule on what words mean?
Well, look, bro, I don't know. I think right now everyone's trying to redefine everything.
Yeah.
And it's getting really confusing right now. And I just want us to be able to relax.
Because there's
about this shit.
It's like, because nobody knows where the other person is coming from. So if everybody's super sensitive about something,
right,
then you could have somebody who is like, admittingly ignorant, being like, hey, I don't understand why this race or this sexuality, or I don't understand this. Can somebody, and they genuinely want to know, and them expressing their ignorance can upset people. When they're like, but in order for me to not be ignorant, somebody's got to fucking have a conversation with me and tell me the right goddamn answer. And then they're like, no, you just got to figure it out on Google, get on the right side,
so stupid,
and shut the fuck up.
No,
and I'm like, well, let me talk to a person, maybe somebody that represents this group or another person that studied it can have a conversation with me.
No. That does not help those people to be able to virtue signal.
Yeah.
That's the key. The key is not giving you the proper information. The key is to flex. Look how awesome I am. Look how nice I am. You know, and it's just so fucking stupid, dude.
Yeah. And then if I can just vent on more complaints, then there's people that they just now learned some cool words, and then they overly use them, and they don't know. Like in your situation, that is an example of virtue signaling. But then there's other people that they just learn what virtue signaling is, and then they just overly use it. Or I try to think of other examples, but it's like, we're just now becoming aware of so many things that I think people just they don't know when it applies.
Oh,
so
That's always the case.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. It's almost just like somebody said something's bad. He's virtue signaling. And it's like, I don't know, maybe.
You're
maybe
racist.
Not. Like, what's the context of the story here?
Right.
Can we figure it out?
Right.
You know, maybe it's a legitimately shitty thing and a person just wanted to bring awareness.
I will not call out somebody virtue signaling if they give me information.
Yeah.
Give me pertinent information that I can use.
Yeah.
Instead of going out to be like, you're bad for saying this thing, you're a terrible person or whatever, come at me like some other people would come in and be like, hey, I don't necessarily agree with what you say, and I don't agree with it because X, Y, Z. And I'm the type of person where a lot of the times those type of people would make me go, huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I need to start looking at this in a different fucking way, right? But some people really come for just the troll, and not even the troll, just to be able to be like, look how awesome I am.
And then that's it.
They don't give you anything.
And that's an issue with social media, is that you have, everybody has an opportunity to speak now. And if you don't know that many people of a certain group, then what you're basing it on is, I saw a TikTok recently of somebody who said that he's Indian, and this is his TikTok. He's like, I'm not Native American. People call me Native American, and he said that I prefer to be called Indian. And the the people that I grew up with, they prefer to be called Indians. And he came up with this whole thing. He's like, you can judge me however you want, but everybody. And then I'm just like, I don't know any Native Americans personally. I don't. What am I going to tell him? He's wrong. Exactly. He's a part of the group. I'm learning from him. But it just, I'm just like, I don't fucking know anything. But now that everybody is allowed to give an opinion, that, you know, he's got a million fucking followers that are just like, all right, apparently I'm just going to call them Indians now. And maybe, I'm like, I don't know. I think a lot of people disagree. So it's just now that everybody's allowed to talk. If you don't know enough, if some groups are underrepresented and one person gets to speak on something, then that can change the entire view of how society views that group.
Yeah, like you can get like, let's say like one dumb Yemeni guy, and he gets like 80 million views where he's like,
yeah,
guys, we're all anti-Semitic, okay? Done. Yeah. And then that's it. Now all Yemenis are anti-Semitic. And it's just like,
yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's basically what you're saying.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Well, but that's right, because I did hear recently somebody say, oh, no, Indians like to be called Indians.
Mm-hmm.
Native Americans like to be called Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it sprung off that popular video. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I don't know. I just knew there was a guy on TikTok, and that was his whole thing. He's like I'm he's like, that's what I am. That's what my parents want to be called. That's the, you know, my tribe wants to be called. That's what everybody. And he's just, I'm like, what am I going to tell him he's wrong? All I can say is that I've heard the opposite before, so now I don't know who to believe. I'm just going to say hi to people and just kind of feel it out, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't things can get confusing.
I don't know, man. Did you see that video of the guy who was trying to explain how white people cannot be racist?
No.
The bearded guy?
Like, no. He's of how white people cannot be racist?
Yeah.
Wow.
Can I play I'll play the video. I wish I could somehow show you the video too.
Well, can I still hear it?
You can hear
it. All right.
Would it be enough, you think?
I think. I mean, if he's making an argument, unless it's like a PowerPoint presentation.
No, well, he writes stuff on a chalkboard, but it's really not that thing. He basically is trying to say white people cannot experience racism.
Oh, I thought you said, yeah, yeah. I've heard that argument before, yeah.
I'm going to play this again. I want to know what you think, because I don't know, man. I can't even wrap my mind around this.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me is going, is he right? Or is he just trying to make a point that he thinks is right? It's so weird.
I've heard that before, and I think that that's kind of what I agree with, that white people, because I think, but I think that Scottish, if you break it down into your heritage, but it's just like white people in general, what does that mean to be racist? You know what I mean? Like
to experience racism.
To experience racism. I don't know in what way a white person can experience racism.
You can't experience racism, you don't think?
I think that I can, there's like prejudices where somebody can assume something, but at the end of the day, if like the white man owns everything, then...
Does the white man own everything?
But I mean, the bulk of all...
China owns a lot.
Sure. Sure, but I just mean like of like political power of
in
all
America
of the,
specifically.
In America specifically,
okay.
Political power,
influence,
corporations, and influence. And if you're looking at the generational gap, and you're looking at, I mean, history right now, you got there's literally Republicans trying to just be like, just erase Black history from the books, and we're not allowed to talk about it. And it's like those things don't they can't happen to white people because we're the ones making the decisions. We're not even in the position to have.
Here we go with the we, bro. What
we, as in white people,
man? Why is what white people's make okay? So what? Ugh. This is where you start losing me, because I'm just like, you're now lumping yourself in with the successes of white people in the past and the present.
But I benefit from those people because of generational wealth.
I benefit being Arab. Even though my dad came here with nothing and had to work himself up, right? He at least didn't grow up in a system where for hundreds of years prior to his birth was created to keep him down because of his race.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So my dad, even though he didn't grow up great, I mean, my dad is bow-legged because he was malnourished as a kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he didn't grow up in a system that was literally out of its way trying to fuck him as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, and trying to keep him down. So even though he didn't come from a place of privilege, in comparison to black people that have been here, especially the ones descendants of slavery, night and day.
Yeah.
So I had that privilege too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
There's definitely different privileges that different people have. And I think people concentrate on white privilege as being like, you know, is the only one that exists. And maybe it's an important thing that I think that people should look at. But yeah, based on different people's upbringings, there's an American privilege.
You don't think you can experience racism?
I don't even know how I could experience racism. I don't know what.
You don't think that like
people could be prejudiced towards me,
but in power could be using their racism towards you? You don't think that's possible?
I think that in order for me to experience racism, there'd have to be enough black people in power to where that's like not a one-off thing. You know what I think about it? In order for me to experience racism, we'd have to be in a better place in society. It'd be a good thing.
Okay.
Because it would mean that black people are in a better position.
Socially. I don't know, man. I mean, I think that white people probably don't experience the racism on the level of minorities, but that's still still experience racism. Okay, would it be racist?
Because it's just white isn't like a race.
But
it's like, are you saying Scott? Like there's it's like when somebody's talking about white pride. It's like that's why white pride can't exist. It's like you can have Scottish pride, you can have Irish pride, but what does white pride mean?
But you just said you had white privilege. So then what does that mean? If you're trying now to say that what does white is not a race, now you're trying to say...
I mean, I benefit from my skin tone. A lot of time I think it comes down to like color, where like I think like for example, there was a situation where somebody identifies as... So
your argument is that white people can experience racism because most people can't pinpoint their exact race to be racist about.
Yeah, you can shit. Yeah, you can shit on Scottish people. You can shit on Irish people.
I love shitting on Scottish people.
Like if you're just giving a generality, then it's you know, but I just haven't heard like examples. I'm sure that I'm open to hearing other examples, but I'm like all the examples of like of how racism has been implemented towards other groups of people. Those examples can't happen. Like there's no society nobobody's not giving white people loans. There's nobody that's blocking.
I'm sure there's people that are not getting loans.
Sure, but not because they're white. You know what I mean? It's not like there's no systems in place to erase white history or to segregate.
Do you think there's systems in place to keep black people from getting loans, or do you think there's just racist people within those systems?
Well, historically, there was a system in place. I mean,
well, historically, but not now. We don't have any systems now.
Not now exactly, but when I think of it, I think of it like if financially it started from a place where because of systemic racism in the past, black people have less money on average, let's say, then who's going to, like, I found out that your credit score can't be helped if you're paying off your apartment. Doesn't do anything. You have to pay off a home. But your credit's right. So if you don't have enough money to own a home, then you know what I mean? So there's things that could be that I think are just conveniently fucking over poor people, and we've just financially shit on black people throughout history so much, in America specifically, that I think the people in the top are just like, if it fucks over some white people, cool. But at the end of the day, it's separating, you know, so it's mixing racism with classism with a lot of things.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's strictly racism because it's classism, because poor white people can be affected too.
Very much so.
But if you're going off percentage wise of who it affects the most, it's like college debt. It's like an overwhelming majority, percentage-wise, of the people that have college debt, at least percentage-wise, is black people in the United States. White people have enough money to pay for college themselves. Like if you're it's things like that I think are so interesting when people talk about politicians and stuff like that, because it reminds me of like Bernie, where people were like, he's not speaking up for black people enough, and I'm like, I think he's just trying to do it like on the hush because he's doing things that affect, that he wanted to do things that, like, who do you think free college is going to help the most?
Yeah.
Who do you think free healthcare is going to help the most? You know what I mean? Like all of these things, he didn't call it the black people get free college program.
Yeah.
But he said if he wanted to erase student loan debt, positively affect black people more than white people.
Are you saying it's mostly black people that have student loans, or is it like the majority of the percentage of
the
black
majority
people?
Of the percentage? I'm so sure per capita, because there's still more white people in the United States.
Yeah, I think there's only 13-14% black people.
Sure, yeah, there's still, but if you're looking at, you know, how a population or how a race is affected by something, then I think you kind of have to look at the percentage of the, you know, it's like when somebody's like more white people get shot by the police, and I'm like, sure, whatever. There's more white people that exist. That doesn't mean that they're not, you know, I don't even know if that's what that person said is true. That's how irrelevant it is to me, because I'm just like, that's not how it works.
Also, though, Jeff, man, there is a lot of fuckery that we get from our media, though, man. I think our media really does.
They're trying to make money off of commercial. They're trying to make money. It's like.
But then they also drive the narrative of what we think is so.
And by the media, you mean like your social media, too.
Hear me out. Right? I may be wrong in saying this.
Sure.
In terms of like,
I might be wrong. We both might be wrong.
Yeah,
Who knows?
No. I may be wrong in saying this in terms of like, so my analogy is this, okay? The media has always been out there to really exacerbate certain things. So the media has the ability to make things seem bigger than they actually are, right? So, for example, back in the 80s when I was growing up in Detroit, when you turned on the nightly news, the nightly news was about, ding, 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 ding. All right, guys, get ready for another scary black man on the loose.
Yeah.
All right, people, get ready for another black scary man on the loose. Be careful. I remember growing up, there was a guy named Coleman. And I don't know why I kept remembering Coleman. They just kept showing his picture with his bug eyes and stuff. And he's out there killing people. Like, and he's just every night, Coleman. And it was like, as a kid, you get so inundated with that you're just like, damn, black people are evil. Black people are bad. Man, be careful of the black guy. You know, they're going to come after you. They're criminals. They're poor. They're whatever.
That's the influence of media.
Now, what's the media doing in terms of black people? Black person getting shot. Black people being in trouble. Black people are the victim. Black people are the victim. Black people are the victim. And part of me goes, isn't it almost the same to say that back in the day, they used black people to scare us into a position, and now they're sort of using black people coax us into another position, or it's become popular. So my point is that is it really that bad for black people in terms of getting shot by the police or their mistreatment? Or is it being really exacerbated with the media now using that as the topic to keep pushing their agenda or whatever it is?
For me, I hope that there's a day that I feel bad saying fuck the police. That's where I come from, because I just overwhelmingly think that, sure, the pendulum can swing too far in the other direction and things can overcorrect, but I think that, like, for me, until the police, like, the police to me, they overly police black neighborhoods. So there's tons of statistics that have shown that it's like everybody does drugs at the same race, at the same rate. But
as I'm doing drugs right now.
But black people are the only ones, primarily percentage-wise, that are filling up the prisons, that are getting arrested for marijuana possession, you know, and even though white people are traditionally doing harsher drugs and receiving less punishment for harsher drugs. And so you're only going to find crimes that you look for. So You see all of these white neighborhoods, they're not stopping by they're not infiltrating to see if white people are smoking weed in the corner. They don't care.
Or is it, or do they in the poorer white areas? Because I know, like, you know, I dated a girl in Warren, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And she lived in a pretty like poor part of Warren, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And the police were, man, the police, they hated the cops there.
Sure.
The white people, they hated the cops. They're like, the cops here fuck with us all the time.
Sure. And that could be true. It could be poor type of a thing. It could be a financial thing. But once again, if we're looking at, you know, percentage wise, it's going to hurt black people more than it's going to hurt white people. If we're talking about people, if the police are after poor people. So that's when racism and classism kind of merge. And so to me, I want there to be I think that the biggest group that should be against police corruption should be the police. The fact that they're not, I want it to be hacky. I want it to be like, we know the police hate the bad cops. Until that's the situation, that's why I kind of say fuck the police, is because I'm like, until they're overwhelmingly against the bad apples, and we stop saying bad apples, because if there's a few bad apples every day, it's like,
I agree with you.
Because when I looked at the beginning of those, the 2020 protests, it was in every single major city in the entire United States, there was corruption, at least in some form, in the police force. That's not true in any job. There's some cities where all the teachers are cool and none of them kill anybody. Like, that's just... So I think that it could swing too far the other direction. There could be situations where we're sensitive to... we assume you can get in a pattern of racist white cop kills somebody, racist white cop. You can get in that pattern. So when you don't have enough information, we can just assume that that's what happened before we get all the information.
Yeah.
But even in those situations, it's like, I think it's an unfortunate consequence, but I think it's better than not. That's just an unfortunate consequence that has to happen from people caring. Even though I don't think that the media cares for good reasons, because I think that the media cares just because they feel like they have to now.
Yeah.
It's like when the protest came out and all of a sudden we're getting emails from Coca-Cola and
fucking. Oh my God, that's what, like, I'm talking about,
just
bro.
Just random corporations just like,
and
fucking.
I think the news.
Chex Mix, we want to know. We want you to know that we think killing black people is bad. And we're like, oh, yay, Chex Mix. And I'm like, like, who gives? Like, they don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Like, so I do think that there's people capitalizing financially.
And I think the news capitalizes on,
yeah,
on having an easy thing to report.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's tons of videos we can find of police fucking over white people.
Mm-hmm.
Tons, bro. Turn on the news. Do you see one? Barely ever. What I'm talking about? I think the news, man.
I do think that overwhelming, though, it's not as common. I think that they overwhelmingly fuck over black.
You like, think or I, you know?
I
the fuck?
Oh, I thought that was me.
Damn, this guy always calls it the worst time. I swear to God.
I've been in a podcast where my brother, it was happening live, my brother was watching it and called me. I was like, I just wanted to talk.
I think that's what this guy's doing. Fucking idiot, just go ahead and... you can fucking talk on the live post, Patrick.
But when I say that I believe that to be true is because there's like statistics of exonerations of like how many times somebody was considered to be guilty and we later found out that we were wrong. And those are overwhelmingly saying that black people are overwhelmingly framed and are considered to be fucked over in the court of law. So it's just like, it's hard for me to pick what area of the entire law, in the entire law process, there's corruption and there's racist judges. There's racist, like, it's the entire,
I'm right there with you, man.
The entire thing is fucked up. So I'm sure that people can overcorrect, but I don't see any. I see videos of a white dude holding on his gun with the police officer looking at him in his car, and he's like, "I legally am allowed to have this gun," and he just drives away, and nobody kills him. You know what I mean?
But here's another thing I kind of want to bring up: subliminal racism.
Mm-hmm.
I think that subliminally in this country, we have been trained
mm-hmm.
to look at white as right and black as bad. Yeah. Just like me growing up with Coleman on the loose. Coleman's coming to kill you. You know what I'm saying?
Every day.
Like I've told this story before on this podcast. Like, one time I took my mom out to a Mother's Day breakfast, and then on the way out, this really big black dude was taking his mother. They were both leaving at the same time, but they were in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
He held the door open for us. This guy was bro. When I mean huge, like his head almost hit the ceiling. He's massive, dude.
Yeah.
And he was dressed in FUBU, like sweatsuit. This was like early 2000s.
Yeah.
And, you know, my mom was like, thank you. We walked through. And then we got in the car. And this is what I love about my mom, man. She's so naive. She really doesn't understand much, bro. And this is not necessarily funny, but she...
Well, I mean, that just sounds like a lot of moms.
Well, yeah, but my mom especially. She's that like sitcom, like, oh dear, you know what I mean, type woman. So we were sitting, we got in the car, and this is what I love about my mom. She got a real good heart, even though she's naive. She goes, I feel really bad. And I was like, why? And she goes, why was I scared of him?
Mm.
She asked me this, like in this honest, naive, like,
but that's a question that a lot of people wouldn't have the balls or guts or whatever.
It's not even about balls and guts. She's just so honest.
Sure.
And she was in
the car. A lot of people aren't that honest to admit their own prejudices. Yeah.
And I was like, so you were scared? And she was like, she really felt bad. She was like, Mike, I feel so bad. She goes, why was I so scared of him? He was so nice. He held the door open for me.
Uh-huh.
He took his mom out to Mother's Day and everything. But when he was there, I was like scared. My answer to her was, I was like, you need to turn off the TV, mom.
Because
That's all my mom wants to do. She sits in front of the TV. I'm like, that TV programs you to look at this guy's being scary.
Yeah.
And to me, I think that subliminal racism is embedded in all of us in this fucking country, bro. So I think police officers subliminally look at a white guy with a gun
as less of a threat.
Not only less of a threat, probably a responsible gun owner.
Yeah.
That's the way cops look at people who have guns.
I agree.
They look at you as you might be a responsible gun owner. And I think the idea of a white man with a gun in a probably conservative state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Less threatening because there's this stigma of that white people have guns. And if you think about it, people who white, and this is not popular to say, but white people who are gun enthusiasts, very safe with their guns, man. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if you know these people. I know a lot of people that own guns.
To me,
guns.
Just gun enthusiasts in general, a lot of them are very safe with it. A lot of the people, when you hear about shootings, it's not a person that's... It's
somebody, a responsible
it's
gun
not,
owner.
Yeah, it's somebody that... It's some dad that had a gun... by his bed, and he didn't know his son.
It was just out,
and his son grabbed it and went to... Yeah.
Anytime I've ever been around my conservative friends, especially, like, I remember growing up in Dearborn as an Arab, we never really had guns, man. You know, my parents weren't, like, into that shit.
Yeah.
Until I joined the Marines, and then I started, like, being around guns, and then I started being around, like, conservative guys from the South, and then I would sometimes go home with them on the weekends to hang out with their family, let's say for like 4th of July or whatever. And there's guns everywhere, but they're in the case, and you know,
funny when you say guns everywhere, I'm picturing it like in a frame on the like on top of the TV.
They had a lot of guns, man. Motherfuckers had a lot
of guns.
What
does guns everywhere mean?
Meaning like he had guns down in the basement in the drawer, and then he had like a gun case in the basement, then he had a gun case like in the living room.
Yeah.
But anyways, we were like out in the back shooting and stuff, and anytime I've been around these guys, my former military friends, and been around their families, or been around people who are police officers or any other people who like own guns, regardless of color, they're responsible. They treat the weapon like it's loaded every time, even though that they know it's not loaded. They're not going to have the muzzle facing you, so on and so forth. And I think we are conditioned to believe conservative white gun owner more likely to be responsible. Black gun owner less likely to be responsible.
Yeah.
And I think we've been programmed to think that.
Yeah. I think that. I think that that's how a lot of, you know, if you're looking at quick second decisions, that's it. It's also one of those things where it just makes me wonder, like, the people that, what type of job would a police officer who, if you were racist and you enjoyed power, what other job would you want other than to be a police officer? It's the perfect job for a racist that wants power. That's the unfortunate side effect of it, of just like people that don't have good intentions, that they want to feel cool, they want to be in positions of power. That's what they're going to want to do. They're not going to want to be a teacher. They're not going to want to be, that's not fulfilling for a racist to just be in math class. That'd
be a funny sketch.
Be in math class just trying to force racism. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, how do you get it out of your system? But yeah, people get so used to watching. I've seen, that's why, like, you see a lot of older people turn conservative. I feel like it's just because they just sit in front of they don't have enough other hobbies. That's my theory.
I've seen
people that were, I've got friends' grandparents who like were liberal and then just went to Florida and just turned conservative just because they just watched too much Fox News.
I don't know if it's that, bro.
Because, sure, it's not that for everybody.
No, here's the thing. For me, being liberal, I was pretty naive.
Mm.
As I get older and the more I start learning, the more I start moving towards the center.
Mm-hmm.
Because I start to realize that all the things that I used to think as a liberal
mm-hmm.
were really ill-informed. I'm now starting to realize that I think that like liberals have great intentions, no plan.
Mm.
And conservatives have all plan, zero intentions.
Mm.
And to me, it's like I'd rather be in the middle.
Yeah.
For me, it's like it's very important to still have that empathy,
mm-hmm.
but then also be able to be malleable enough to be like, maybe this liberal problem or issue or thing that we highlight might have a conservative solution.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or maybe not. You know what I mean?
I get where you're coming from. I tend to think, and I think similar, but I guess for me, I think of like almost conservatives not having, I think it depends on who's in power too, because I remember when like there were so many things where when Trump was in office that were just like, what did Obama do? I'm going to do the other thing. And it's like, do you have a plan? Just not Obama. That was his plan, was not Obama. That's not a plan. There's a lot of times of like where when Republicans were against Obamacare, they're like, so what do you think? I just think we should keep doing what we're doing. Well, we've agreed that the health care now sucks, so we should have something else. And they're like, but not Obamacare. And I'm like, that's not a plan. You're just shitting on what the liberals present. So to me, well, I just...
Two-party system is what you get, bro.
Yeah, that's what you get. And so... you know, and that's a problem that people are dealing with right now, is that people thought that liberals had the majority, and then there's, you know, you get somebody who's moderate, who now is against investigating the January 6th riots, and it's like, and now that just, we just pretend that never happened. We just pretend that an entire political party didn't support fucking armed citizens taking over a government building. We
did
just
the
pretend.
Whole party support that?
The majority of the party didn't vote against. They voted in favor of us moving forward and not investigating it. And so I'm sure that's not that might not be the majority of how Republicans, because sometimes there's politicians and then there's people under them. So that might just be the politicians. I don't know if the average Republican American feels that way. But the majority of the Republicans in office, they were like, well, why do we want to investigate a thing that makes me look bad that happened when we were in office? That didn't happen. You know what I mean? So a lot of people only care about problems that happen that make them look bad, not problems that are the benefit of the entire country. They're like, I don't care about it until
it's a team
until
mentality.
I got the ball, I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. It's exactly it, man. It's a very offensive team-like mentality.
Yeah.
It's like my team versus your team, and that's it. And I'm starting to see that,
man. And the left has its issues, too.
I saw it more now.
To me, the pandering can be more offensive than... It's like you have conservatives that are willing to admit they don't know much about other cultures and maybe they don't care. And then you have a lot of liberals that pretty much agree and also don't care, but they'll pretend they care because they feel like that's the right answer. And it reminds me of like when they were all wearing like the dashikis and everything, and they
get
were just
the
like,
fuck
you remember
here,
that?
Man.
Oh my God.
That's when the riot should have happened. Oh, right then. That's when the riots on the fucking Capitol should have happened.
The pandering was right. I thought the pandering before that I always, that I remembered was the hot sauce in the purse of Hillary Clinton. I remembered that as like, man, that's crazy. And then people were just like, you wait, we will raise the bar on pandering.
I got hot sauce in my car. I do. I always have hot sauce in my car.
Yeah, yeah. And we're on.
How cool I am.
She brought it out of her purse, and I can't forget. Ever so often, I just watch that video just to remind myself of how cringeworthy they look. I hate these politicians now,
man. I hate all of them. To be honest, I hate all of them, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate
And I think that's because you see a lot of politicians that start off as caring, and then they realize, then you look at people like Bernie, and they're like, well, he got fucked over, and he seemed to care the entire time. Then you have Andrew Yangs, who's now starting to become less of a, you know, who started off as looking like he was a guy that cared about shit, and now he's starting to go towards regular politician pandering mode.
Yeah. I haven't really been paying attention. Like,
yeah,
he has
a little bit. Yeah, yeah. Okay. He started to. So it is. It can be disappointing when people put too much.
No, you're good. You're good, bro.
When people put too much weight on these politicians,
right.
To me, even celebrities, when people overly look up to anybody,
right.
Then they can never do any wrong in your eyes,
right.
And you never believe it. And that's what happened with Trump. Everybody was like, there's the people that loved him. There was nothing he could do that was wrong. If he did it and it was wrong, they still didn't care. And that was like, that happened.
The same thing goes with Democrats, bro. The same thing goes with Democrats.
I don't know. I don't. I think a lot of Democrats are willing to. I don't think Democrats are. They're not wearing capes that have Biden's name on it. They're not getting Biden tattoos. They're not wearing Biden flags with Biden trucks.
I've seen.
You know what I mean? Like,
I've seen them. They're probably not in mass as much as the Trumpers are.
The Trumpers were the biggest political cult that I think that I've ever seen.
Biden is a piece of shit.
Sure.
He's always been a piece of shit. But I feel
like Democrats are willing to be like, he's less of a piece of shit than Trump.
Oh, and that's the narrative every four years.
Sure. But then the Trumpers are just like, oh, but this is the difference, is that to me, Democrats are willing to admit that their candidate is a piece of shit, but they just happen to like him better than the Republican. And the Republicans are delusional, or like,
what
no.
What kind of fuck?
Trump is perfect. Everything about him is perfect. There's women that have Trump dildos that want to fuck Trump. And it's just like, no, I see that both sides can be shitty.
But you're
delusional right.
Wait. You're debating.
Clearly, basically, Republicans are delusional.
No, but
financially, trickle down economics has never worked in this country.
You think Democrats are not delusional, bro?
Far less.
What
delusional.
You just did right now? Hold on a second.
They're not worshiping their candidates.
Hold on a second. What you're doing right now is just basically saying both sides are fucking delusional, but my side does it with class. What the fuck was that? It's like, our side is like, hey, well, we're going to vote for him. Yeah, we kind of know he's a piece of shit, but there he is. But the other guys are like, no, he's not a piece of shit. He smells good.
I'm saying that they're both pieces of shit, but I don't think they're both delusional. I think Republicans are delusional.
Democrats have shown
me
right now.
Democrats are pieces of shit.
Democrats have shown me more and more now, especially during the pandemic, that they are just as fucking delusional as the Republicans. Even not more so. Democrats have this
mentality. Democrats were the only ones during the pandemic that had anything that would have ever helped anything. Republicans were just anti anything Democrat. Republicans didn't have anything. They were just like, let's pretend.
You're acting like that wasn't
happening.
Let's pretend
that COVID isn't real.
You're acting like it wasn't happening the other way too. The funny thing is, to me, what's funny is that this two-party system has got people like you who are very smart, well-intentioned, to start debating semantics that don't fucking mean shit.
To me, the two-party system also has people that they come to the center. There's people that come to the center legitimately because they don't like either side, or they like a little bit of both sides. And then there's people that come to the center because they just feel like, well, now I'm better than everybody because I can see the faults in everybody. So not like there's some people that are fake centrists, where it reminds me of what bothers me the most is when I see, and I'm sure there are real people like this, but there's not as many as that claim. I don't believe there's as many centrists as claim to be centrists, especially comedically. There's so many comedians, they don't want to lose half of the audience. So instead of just not talking about politics, they just pretend they hate everybody when I know they don't. They just want everybody in the audience to like them. So to me, that's what a centrist most often is. I'm not going to say all the time, because everybody can. There are legitimate people that might see a little bit of both sides. But to me, there's way more centrists that are just like, patting themselves in the back of like, I'm better than everybody because everybody's wrong except for me. Fuck the Democrats. Fuck the Republicans. I got it. I found this magical recipe of all that that is in, and it's and they just bathe. See,
people
in their
like
own self-righteousness.
You are, people like you are ruining this country.
No,
seriously.
To me, people Republicans
like you
are
ruining
evil.
This fucking country.
To me,
bro.
Republicans are evil. Liberals
really?
are pieces of shit.
Oh my god!
But that's not great.
Hold on a
that's
second.
Not great.
Hold on a second. Talk about evil. Obama dropped 20,000 fucking bombs in the Middle East.
You know, Trump did more than that in 4 years.
And there we go, guys. You just fell into my trap. This is so fucking
no, it's not a
amazing.
Trap. I'm saying, why are
it's
you...
It's so amazing.
I'm saying, you don't
let
get
me
to...
Tell
that's
you
that's what I said.
Let
evil and
something.
Piece of shit. That doesn't make... That's what I said. Hold more is
second.
Worse.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. You want to go more is worse? Let's do this then. You got to stop thinking in a clock that only happens after Trump. Let's go before that. Let's go
Bush.
Before... Hold on.
Before then, Bush
before
was the worst
that.
President
let's
of all time.
Go before that. So,
well, not worse.
So
Reagan.
Bush... Mr. War Criminal himself, who everyone is doesn't have a problem calling a war criminal because he's white.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get a black president
mm-hmm.
who comes in and tells us that he's going to reduce the wars.
Mm-hmm.
Takes us from two wars to fucking seven.
Sure. Yeah.
Drops 20,000 bombs. Becomes one of the first presidents to run out of bombs. Does a fucking drone program in Yemen, obliterating my fucking homeland.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody in this fucking country gave a shit because our media, which leans left, was only reporting other fucking shit because they loved Obama.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, Trump becomes president, and now, oh my God, he increased the bombing in Yemen.
So fuck both of them is what you're saying, right?
My,
why are you signaling Obama as if he's the only one
I'm saying,
when they've all done this?
Fuck what you said earlier. That Democrats are not evil.
Oh, so you're just basing evil only on who bombs where you're from. Is that what you're specifying?
Okay, so now you're trying to say that the only evil is what? What
no,
are you
saying?
Now,
no, I'm just
now
saying that
you're
evil is infinite. There's
evil?
No, I'm just saying that evil,
if the
can't
evil
just
is
be what
infinite,
you think
so
is bad.
Tell me what makes Republicans evil and Democrats only pieces of shits, whatever that means.
What I'm saying is that I'm not somebody that overly praises. I'm willing to say fuck Obama. I don't have any allegiance to. I'm not on.
No,
team
but earlier
Democrat.
You were literally
I,
on
I,
this
just
thing
because
of being
I hate
like the,
Republicans doesn't mean okay. I'm on team Democrat. That doesn't mean I love every Democrat.
Okay.
Doesn't mean I'm willing. I don't. I know the history of Biden. I know the history of Obama.
Right.
I know where they've both done things that were beyond inexcusable and fucked up.
Okay.
But to me, when I look at both liberals and Democrats, is that even if liberals are doing. And I'm not excusing it. They're doing shitty things. They're doing the things that they want to do that's good.
Biden
they
comes
might
in
do
office.
It, they might do it for wrong reasons, right? Like Biden is the first.
We start bombing Syria as soon as Biden gets elected.
Biden is the first president to mention the words systemic racism. No, Obama
so,
didn't even give up. I'm not saying that that's good. I'm
so
not saying that's good.
What you're
hear
saying
me out.
Is,
hear me
is
out.
That rhetoric
hear me
matters
out.
More. Rhetoric.
I'm not saying it matters
because
more.
Because Democrats are great at rhetoric.
That's not
they're
what I'm saying.
They're great at saying things.
I'm not saying that it matters more. I'm saying...
But you highlighted that as like
compare,
such an
you told
thing.
Me to compare the two.
Right.
So... If one is doing... If somebody punches you
I
twice...
I you to compare
if
to
somebody
two.
Punches you once... I'm not saying that I'm happy to be punched once.
Yeah.
I'm saying that unfortunately, because of the two-party system, one group is punching people a lot more. To me, the Republicans don't even want to admit that there's problems, and the Democrats only have shitty solutions. To me, I don't see the Democrats coming up with good solutions to, you know, they're not trying to nationally make weed legal so police can stop just targeting black and brown Americans and just pretending they smell it in the
actually,
car.
Actually, there have been Republicans that have been pushing for decriminalization.
Sure,
many
there have, but not nearly as many as liberals.
Depending on when now, because like if you go back like just 10 years ago, most Democrats were anti-weed. They're
sure,
just
everybody was.
Well, then. I mean, listen,
that's what I'm saying. That's why I know that Democrats are pandering to the times.
They're pandering to the constituents. That's all. They're doing
sure.
I don't know why we are so
that time. That's what I mean.
The thing is that like the Democrats and the Republicans are two halves of a fucking of a half shelter. Like in the Marine mm-hmm. Corps, one Marine would have half of a tent, and the other Marine would have another half of a tent, right? Mm-hmm. And the only way that you're going to be sleeping under a tent that night is you got to make sure you meet another Marine and grab his half of the materials to make a fucking tent.
Sure.
That's our fucking two-party system. One can't rely without the other. The tent can't be made.
That's unfortunate.
They
won't have
to lean on each other. They are one party. The idea that this is why I can't wait till we all get to a point where we start to realize that literally they are both playing us. They know how to play us.
But
it's a game.
But this is what I mean by who's coming up with solutions.
It's a game they both have. It's a dance that they both have to play.
Republicans have had no positive suggestions even for healthcare,
for the economy. Obamacare is Romney care.
Sure, exactly.
Obamacare was created actually by Mitt Romney and a conservative think tank.
Exactly. And Republicans didn't care about, weren't upset at it until it was called Obamacare because they just hate Obama because Obama's black.
Bro.
So they weren't upset at it. They weren't upset at it when Republicans fucked with it.
It's a
dance. They were upset at it when Democrats fucked with it.
The shit was going to happen anyway, buddy. They had to have a Democrat pass it. That's the game they're playing.
Sure.
That's the game they're playing. The Republicans have to make sure that Obama gets the rap for Romney care.
For who?
Because that's the only way
college
it can happen.
Loans. Republicans give a fuck about college loans?
That way,
no.
Okay, hold on a second.
They don't care about anything.
College loans.
Any benefit.
If you really
of a human being.
Here's the
they
thing.
They don't care.
Here's the thing. So now you want to talk about that stuff. One thing that Democrats are really, really bad at is fucking up the economy and fucking up business.
The economy's only been better under Democrats. It's only been the case.
The economy goes.
Bush fucked over the economy.
Listen,
Obama saved it. That's what happened.
Okay, listen. Obama
then
did.
Trump fucked it up again.
Hold on a second.
By lower, it was going up at a higher rate. It was getting better at a higher rate. And Trump took credit for it at it going up at a less higher rate.
This is the problem with the economy, is that Democrats and Republicans always want to try to take credit for the economy when it's good, when their person is in office within a specific time. A lot of the times the economy goes on ebbs and flows on its own. It doesn't need a president to be in office.
Yeah.
Sometimes a president just comes in office and then the economy happens to be fucking taking off, maybe from shit that they fucking passed 10 years ago, and now this president gets the
It happens with blame. It happens.
Let's talk about intricacies of business. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And this is where I think liberals don't understand business. I think liberals, we really care with our heart, but we don't really think about business. Okay, mm-hmm. Democrats are terrible for business. The Republican states, their businesses are still thriving through the pandemic because they have allowed their businesses to stay open.
That's the only reason. But traditionally, they're far worse when it comes to economics and with businesses.
Because a lot of places that
every
are Democrat.
Lawsuit happens because if an oil spill happens, if any lawsuit where a business fucks something over is because Republicans want to just let businesses do whatever the
and
fuck
I'm
they want.
And I'm not saying that
is only Republicans.
And I'm not defending that. Of course, that is a fucking shitty part of that. What Democrats are really good at doing is playing games with the economy and fucking it up with the intention of helping people. And then in the end, it fucks people over. So, for example, like student loans. Mm-hmm. The fact that the government came in and started backing student loans, that's mm-hmm. why the price of college tuition went skyrocketing through the air. And that's why now you have all these people with student loan debts. Mm-hmm. Before that time, there was no guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was no guaranteed, it was more affordable to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to understand, the government comes in with good intentions. We're going to back student loans. And instead, what does it do? It just fucks up the economy. The mm-hmm. people that run that part of the business increase their prices. And who gets fucked over? The people you intended to help in the first place.
Sure, but
here's another example.
Who's against? There's no Republicans that are for getting rid of student loan debt. There's none of them that are for that.
They're none of them.
Republicans are
here's
even
the
against.
Thing.
Democrats have been trying for years to just take small things. Just be like, how about we let a community college be a 4-year college? And they're like, but then they're just going to go there, and they're not going to give money to universities. And that's who the universities give me money. So fuck you, no. Like anything that makes sense.
But you think that Democrats don't do that on the other end?
No, exactly.
They're
I know
also
they do that.
Getting
that's
money.
That's the difference, though. Is that I'm saying is that the only people that are that seem to be for what you and I would agree on being good shit, would be the even if it's just four of them.
So you just made Democrats. My point. Democrats so are terrible at business.
But what I'm saying, the only ones that are good are Democrat. They're all shitty, and there's four good Democrats. That's politics.
If you want to get down to the freaking bottom of it, try to fucking get all of us to focus on ending these wars. Then sure. We will have enough money for everything.
Exactly.
We will have so much money left over that we wouldn't even be able to fucking have a discussion about where does the money go? Because everything will pretty much be paid for. Here's the thing.
Every politician is going to keep going more healthcare, wars. That's the country.
Healthcare, free healthcare, something I want. But when you really look into it and listen to people who know what they're talking about, it's practically impossible.
No, it's not. You just said there's more than enough money if you stop wars.
Hold on.
You could tax the rich people and pay for college with a fucking 0.5% tax of even if they just pay their share. If they just paid what they should pay.
From what I heard.
Fucking Amazon's paying next to nothing.
That's a different story. From what I heard is that the cost of free healthcare for everyone in this country will far surpass the military budget. Far surpass it. We have so many people, like compared to like other countries, like, you know, let's say Britain, you know what I mean, or whatever, or let's say even Canada can have free healthcare. They have a fraction of the people that we have. Doesn't that make sense?
But who does it cost? What does that mean? We all have to pay $50 more in our taxes at the end of the year?
Like,
I think money is this. Sometimes we get caught in these numbers. And then we found out, like,
here's the thing.
People always shit on Bernie because they were like, you can't just print out money.
You know what I think the best solution is?
And then at the beginning of the pandemic, what did Trump do? He just gave $6 trillion to businesses. He just printed out money.
Obama did the same thing.
They all do the same thing. But what I'm saying is that they all pretend as if money. So that's what I'm saying is that when you're like, there's not enough money, there is enough money. They just want to, they lie to us and make us believe there's not enough money because that's how they make money. Everybody had free healthcare, we wouldn't need them.
I think what you don't understand is that there's always this battle of to not print more money because the more you print, it devalues the dollar, right? Mm-hmm. The people who end up paying the price of the devalued dollar are the people at the bottom.
How so?
Because then the price of everything goes up. A lot of the times when you look at the gas prices going up, that is because the dollar's value went down because we just printed a gazillion amount of dollars. The more dollars in circulation, the less the dollar is worth. The less the dollar is worth, the less purchasing power. Less purchasing power means that you're going to start seeing numbers going up.
But right now you still see the rich and CEOs getting paid more prices and more money. They're getting more money, and the poor people are still at the same level. So that's more of an argument to me towards why we should increase minimum wage.
Say that again. What did you say?
The wage increases more at a faster rate of the rich.
Sure.
The rich people get incrementally more
exponentially
money.
Exponentially more money.
More money every year.
Yeah.
And poor people are staying at the same amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, these are problems that could also just be fixed by just increasing minimum wage and not just worshiping every fucking rich person.
Listen,
and thinking
I'm right there with you. Increasing minimum wage, the fact that we have, like, I got paid $4.25 back in 1995.
Ain't that crazy?
Right now, what is it, 7 something, 8 something?
Yeah, depending on the state. You know, California might
be
more.
Think about that, bro. That's like 20 fucking, how many years is that? That's like 30 years?
I was getting paid $5 an hour cash at a grocery store.
Bro, you were rich getting cash.
At a place called Foodland.
Hey, I remember Foodland.
You remember Foodland? I used to work at Foodland for $5 an hour cash.
I used to work at Bogey's.
Oh, but you worked at Bogey's?
You remember Bogey's?
Yeah.
I used to work at Bogey's with those Chaldeans, bro.
My dad would always say, I think I might have been fired today, but I don't know if anybody, we don't speak the same language, so I'm just going to keep showing up until they stop paying me. I don't know. He's like, I keep getting paid, but he seems really mad at me. I just don't know what for. I can't find. There is a guy that speaks English, but he's not around
That's
at the same
hilarious.
Time. So I'm just like, all right. So
where was the Foodland?
This was on 8 Mile and it was off 8 Mile, but I can't think of like the cross streets, in between Losser and.
Lasher. Evergreen. I used to call it Lasher.
Yeah, a lot of people called it Lasher.
I used to call it Lasher.
They were
for
just
a
like, fuck
time.
That. It's HS. People would argue, well, it should be Lasher. I'm like, that's not what the guy named it. That's how stubborn Americans are. That when if we
it's
read
true.
Something, we're like, but it would be easier to say it a different way.
Yeah.
So whoever named it is wrong.
Yeah.
How do you have that much confidence?
Yeah.
However you named it, I'm going to do Lasher.
It's how they spelled Puerto Rico when they first took over Puerto Rico. Before they had, they spelt it. It was in the early 1900s. It's P-O-R-T-O Rico.
That's how they,
it's just so white people could be like, oh, it's Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico. Yeah. I love that white people just rename things. Like, it's hard for me to say it, so you're wrong.
You know what's crazy? Most people don't know Puerto Rico is America.
Yeah. There's a lot of that.
Bro. Like, how many times I've been like, yeah, I went to Puerto Rico, and they're like, man, you could fly to another country right now? And I'm like, there's a Walmart there, okay? Bro, as soon as you get off the airport. The fuck is wrong with you?
People, it's so easy in geography to get caught up in, like, when I went to Texas, like, there's so many people, like, it's, like, you just picture it to be all desert, and you're like, there's buildings and shit? Like, I don't know, like, they're just,
what,
it,
when even you in went the to country. Texas?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bro, I felt the same thing. When I flew into Texas.
This is a whole city.
Bro, when I, when I flew into Fort Worth, we had to fly, I had to do a cooking show for YouTube, and I flew me into Texas, and I flew in, and I had that same, like, when we started coming through the clouds, I was like, what? There's buildings?
I thought
it was going to be like all desert.
I don't know why I thought that. Yeah.
I was like, all desert. I'm like, it's Fort Worth, right? That's where, like, they don't have shit, right?
Yeah, there's oil and stuff.
It's
and
a fort.
Tumbleweeds.
Yeah. And then, you know, like, big fucking racist white dudes. No?
Yeah.
I found those, though.
Or they found you. Ugh. One of the two.
Ugh. Yeah, bro.
Oh man.
But we got into it on that fucking politics shit, man. My bottom line is,
sure,
you get into the point where we start debating which team is doing what better, but in the end, they're both fucking us.
And that is one thing
they're
that
both fucking
Republicans
us so hard.
Do way better is just, even if their candidate's shit, they just back their candidate no matter what.
Do you want to know why?
And even if they're willing to lie and go against their own beliefs, and Democrats are willing to shoot themselves in the foot for the sake of integrity, and it's
you're giving credit.
That's what they would say.
Right.
That's not what it is. But I'm saying, like, we both know that that's not what
can
it is.
Can I tell
is.
You why?
It can be pandering, but it might not be actual integrity. But there's just so many times that I'm just like Republicans, even for the sake of the wrong shit. Even if they're staying together,
I'm gonna tell you why. I'm gonna tell you why I think Republicans really stick together, and it's the liberal media. We have a very big liberal bias in our media. We always have. I don't know if you can see that or not. Back in the day when I was, you know,
it depends on the channel. Like Fox is
Hold on. But this is where I'm getting to. Okay. It's always been a liberal bias in the media, even before Fox News. So, you know, growing up in the 70s, 80s, it started really spinning off more. A lot of Republicans and conservatives in America have always been frustrated being the heel in the media, not getting a fair shake in the media. If you want another hit, go ahead, man. Not getting a fair shake in the media. You want to knock it out? You can knock it out in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was like,
what I'm saying is Republicans weren't getting a fair shake in the media.
Sure.
They've always felt like, fuck, man, it's us against them. So for so long, Republicans have always been like, you better show up at the voting booth. Don't allow the media to drive everything. So they've always had this unified front of like, look,
that's
this,
how they can win with less numbers.
This beast of a machine, the liberals who outnumber us, plus this machine, the media that they have, that always goes out of its way to make the Democrats look a lot better than us, we better show up at the voting booth. Then early 2000s hit, Rupert Murdoch answered with Fox News. Fox News was the absolute opposite of what that was, almost to a point where it was like a parody.
Yeah.
And so my point is that I think that's what has conditioned conservatives to be like, okay, who's our candidate? Oh, he's a pedophile? Fuck it.
At least anymore.
Does he love Jesus? You know?
Nope. Just say he loves Jesus.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
He gets my vote.
Yeah.
But my point is that I think that's why.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons why.
No, I would agree with that. And I would, even just to add on to that, that's because of, you know, people, for the sake of whatever's the majority is where the money can be. That's why so much of culture can be like, that's why there was so many, you know, people were talking about growing up, all the clothes were just made for white people's bodies. That's what somebody was telling me before, of like, women didn't have pants that fit an ass because white women didn't have asses, so they just made all the pants. That's why pants used to fucking fit weird. So it's like all of society just, where's the, what's the majority? If the majority's Democrat, that's where there's more eyes watching.
And that's everything. That's where I'll
get more commercial
money. The pants thing is a great analogy. Because
more people are watching it. So
it wasn't the people who were making pants were racist.
Sure.
They were just like, who's going to buy most of these pants?
Yeah.
Assless white women.
Yeah. And so you have like, and that's why it's so like that. And that's why now there's so many Republicans that have seen that they're I forget how many years it's been, but like Trump won without the majority. Bush won without the majority. You have to go back to like Bush Sr. for the last president who his first term he won in office with the majority of the country voting Republican. So now there's all these laws of that they're trying to be slick with that I'm sure Democrats would have did too if they were in the same position.
Oh, for sure.
So, but
I just think Republicans are better at being politicians than Democrats. I mean physically on the ground. Like the type of politicians
what it's gonna the take Democrats to have to win.
Yeah, they won't
they're do treating the, it like a debate that I'm going to win.
They won't
Democrats
do the dirty
are doing it like a TED talk.
Yeah, or they won't play the dirty game that they need to. You know what I mean? That's why Bernie Sanders keeps losing. You know, Bernie Sanders doesn't have enough balls like, to take it.
Can you just name it something else and not call it Medicaid something? Can you just rename your plan?
Yeah. What do you think about all cops are bad? How does that?
I don't think that every individual police officer is bad.
I have diet 7-Ups. All I have.
I'm fine. Okay. I'm good. I'm happy with the tea. I mean, I drank it. I'm not gonna. I'm good. I'm good now.
Okay.
Thank you.
I got to make sure, bro.
I appreciate
hospitality.
I love that. That's so funny though. All I got is diet 7-Up. I just think that's. I don't remember last. I didn't. I'm not positive. I knew they sold diet 7-Up. But I'm not even sure. I'm not sure I knew that they even made Diet 7-Up.
Hey like, guys, our sponsor. this podcast is brought to you by our sponsor. Nobody, because nobody watches this fucking podcast.
Zero sugar. All the taste, none of the sugar.
They got rid of diet. They took the word diet out of there. Now they're all saying zero sugar. I wonder what it is. I wonder if they feel like they're making fat people feel bad.
It's either that or maybe people. I've always heard that like Diet Pop was worse for you because of the fake sugar or something. So maybe they're like, let's just make it the same and just take away the word diet.
Yeah.
Anytime like something might have, it's like rebranding. It might just be rebranding.
Yeah.
And they're like, fuck it, let's just.
But they're all doing the zero sugar, and probably just part of me wonders if it's like it's a fat shaming thing or. Do you know what I'm saying? Because like all these companies are getting like, you know, they're getting sensitive and shit.
Yeah.
Speaking of like diet, you're a vegan.
Yeah.
That's right, man. Mm-hmm. How long?
A couple of years. Right, the beginning of 2019. So what month are we in? 2.5 years almost.
Oh, man. It's not that long.
Yeah. Yeah. I was vegetarian for a year before that. And it's definitely easier being vegan in L.A.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even an inconvenience out here. There's an option everywhere. So I'm sure if you're like in the middle of, I don't know, North Dakota or something, they just call you a pussy and tell you to get out of their bar. I don't know.
What do you do when you go on the road?
Taco Bell helps a lot because Taco Bell is everywhere and their beans and the rice are vegan. So I just get a taco without cheese or meat and just replace it. And what helps the most is the inside menu now that they have with the kiosk that they did for social distance, whatever reasons, but it benefits me. So because you can custom, you don't have to feel picky. I feel like an asshole when I'm ordering and I'm like, can I substitute the beef for the beans? But you don't feel like an asshole pressing the buttons. I'm not talking to anybody. I'm just putting, and then you can see the cheapest way of like, you know, they sell jalapenos at Taco Bell. Of course they should, but they don't put it on anything. So you don't think about it. And you're like, yeah, just add some jalapenos, add some red sauce,
so that's interesting.
Enchilada sauce. So I just make my own.
So the touch screen has made it better then.
Yeah.
It's better than dealing with a person.
For me, because then I'm like, I can find the cheapest way to get exactly what I want without also feeling like a piece of shit because I'm slowing down cars behind me or the person might, you know.
Make sure you don't hit the. I've been seeing this shake. I don't know if the mushrooms from last night is kicking back in. I thought I saw the camera shake.
Yeah, it's weird. It touches. All right, I'll be careful just in case. Yeah,
but that's gotta be hard, bro.
That's got to be hard.
It's only less hard for me just because it was harder at first. But then I think going the transition of vegetarian to vegan, because first I thought it was a bigger thing than it was, because I was like, I used to think that I couldn't get full, that meat was what made me full, and vegetables were just filler food. I used to, it was half a joke, half real. I was like, I can eat a salad until I die. I'm not going to. And body's not going to get full on lettuce.
But you get hungry.
And I thought that was true, and that's not true.
But don't you get hungry faster later?
I don't know. I've always just kind of just ate a lot. So I've never really... just wobbling?
Yeah, but I also want to get a hit.
Oh, I'm like, I don't know how it's wobbling. I'm not...
So what food fills you up the most then?
Fills me up the most? I don't know. I still love pizza. I found a million... different ways to just make a vegan pizza, or you can just
pizzas are vegan if you substitute the cheese, right?
And there's a lot of restaurants that you can say no cheese, and you're like, sure, that might not be ideal, but if you think about cheese, if sauce and bread is still good, you know what I mean? sauce and bread? You never had breadsticks?
That's called breadsticks. Just get breadsticks. The fuck you doing getting a pizza then?
Well, breadsticks, sometimes they put cheese and stuff on it, and they're not vegan.
Someone in Italy is watching this right now. He just blew his brains out. He can't fucking believe you just said what you said.
Hey, you know what? Maybe he should stop raping cows. Fuck that imaginary guy.
Whoa. It's imaginary Italian guy rapes cows?
He does.
Is that what they do there?
That's what milk is. It's cow rape. It is.
Is this how they convince vegans to not drink milk?
They take... and they shove their entire fucking arm. They shove their hand up their fucking. No. That's what they do.
No,
that's like common practice.
No, they didn't teach me that in Lori. Lori Elementary in Dearborn. Is that real? You're serious?
Yeah.
Teach me.
Teach you
how. Tell me what the fuck's going on. I don't know anything about this. This is new to me.
So at first when I was vegetarian. I was like, I just assumed that the milk industry. I didn't realize that the milk industry is technically worse for the animal than the meat industry, because they're still going to kill them regardless at the end of it. But in order to make a cow, their bodies are just made to give milk to their kid. You know what I mean? Like they're not made on it's not like on a regular clockwork basis.
They're not like chickens with eggs.
Yeah, they're not just supposed. So
I just thought they were chickens with eggs. Yeah,
so they
got
to fuck up. So they got to fuck up their body a lot to be able to make them. And obviously when the baby's born, they have to remove the baby. The baby wants to, but if the baby, I got to remove the baby. I know you just gave this is your daughter and you love it. I got to take this thing away because it's going to take all your milk, and milk is my money. So these animals are feeling this love of their child, and then they're like, no, fuck that. You don't get a child. Child's going to take all of my goddamn money.
And so what do they do to the child?
And then depending on if it's a boy or a girl, like in most industries, it's like, you know, you need more women to be able to
make milk
shit, to make milk and shit like that.
But I'm sure they sell the other cow for meat.
Yeah, yeah. They either sell it for meat or you know, some animals it's faster
to just kill them.
It's faster to kill them, and it's a time thing. So it's kind of like chickens and eggs, where like any chicken that's born that's not a girl, if it can't lay an egg, they just throw them in a grinder. There's literally a conveyor belt where they're just like woman to the left. Male to the right, go in the blender, and they're just throwing little baby chicks just in a fucking grinder. And so I just got woken up to the idea of, at least to me, just how much more gruesome it was.
That is
and
fucking
then
sick, bro.
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
I think I remember seeing this grinder video. I think you posted it. You ruined it. Piece of shit.
And I think that's how it felt like for me, where I was just like, I don't know. I'm a white man in America. I got a lot of privileges in life. It's not easy, and it would make me feel like I would have some self-control, because that was at a time where I just felt like, you ever just feel like whatever happens in life, you have no control over it, and you know what I mean? Where just shit's happening, and you're just, so I was like, this is a thing that I can control. I never felt like I was in control of my diet or of anything in my life, and then I was like, oh, I can make specific choices. That
and
I
be a part of the change,
and be a part of the change, feel better just as a human, because, you know, it's funny, people make fun of the hacky joke that people make fun of vegans is that they're always tired. But then I'm like, I don't know, every time I had a double bacon cheeseburger, I wanted to take a fucking nap. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I never had a vegan burger and was like, that was rough. It's almost, you know what I mean? Like, I never get too full. But
or like, not too full, it's like you don't get
sick. Like, the, to me,
run down.
Yeah,
you feel like you just, you feel like you just drop.
You got shot with a tranquilizer dart, yeah. And you're like, yeah, I gotta wait 30 minutes before I drive home.
It's a tranquil.
I'm not drunk. Yeah. I'm just too full.
It's a tranquilizer dart that makes you fucking unbutton your pants.
Yeah,
but that too for a second.
Full to drive feeling is just so funny to me. I'm just like, we gotta wait a minute. I gotta. Like, are you drunk? No.
I had too many cheeseburgers. Bro, I had too many fat burgers. You had more than one? Yeah. Hey, bro, I'm just going to sit in this car for 3 hours.
So you've been you've been going back and forth to Texas, right?
I went there twice.
You went there twice?
I went there twice in Austin. Dude, I really liked it. I liked it to the point where it made me almost want to move.
Yeah,
it made me almost want to move. You're moving there?
No, I said a lot of people are moving there. Yeah, no, I'm gonna stay here and just hope that enough people leave that there's more room.
That's how I feel. It already feels that way.
Yeah.
But my thing is that I don't know, dude. I just like California.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Is that it's especially coming from Michigan. It's kind of like a how picky do I want to be thing, where I'm just like, I went from snow and shitty weather half of the year.
And sometimes more than half of the year.
Yeah, and it's just like, and I'm going to a place where it's nice all the time.
All the time,
and
now, consistent.
And now I'm going to, so the idea, it's when expensive. When I was in Austin, it just felt, I was like, even just weather-wise, it could be too hot there. I feel like a couple weeks ago, there I was there from May 19th through 30th.
So it was hot.
It was Austin, it was rainy, but it was like muggy and humid. And then in San Antonio, it was hot and humid. And then I was in Houston, same thing. So it was just, yeah. So it was like, man, this humidity. And you know, I used to be stubborn about that shit when people would be like, man, get the fuck out of here. You're dry. Hot is hot. What's the number? That don't mean nothing.
See this beard?
Yeah.
This beard comes from fucking Yemen, okay? And I'm just assuming that Yemen has this type of weather.
Uh-huh.
Because my beard acts great in this zero humidity heat.
But when it's humid.
Bro, I go to Texas, I look like you should shoot me.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? Like, I look like I just got, you know how Saddam Hussein looks like when he came out of the cave?
Where it's
just
that's like what fucking, it looks like?
Right now, I can, like, keep it looking like I have a job. I go out there, man. Oh, my God. It just sucks, bro. The humidity. Mm. And I was there February.
Oh.
And it wasn't even that bad.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what it's like now, bro.
Yeah. Did I tell you?
But I like the nightlife there, man.
Mm-hmm.
I like the hanging out.
Yeah.
I like
the fact that
hanging out there, you were more on the same level with everyone as opposed to here. Yeah. There's more of a hierarchy.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And that's also like the negative side effect of too much industry in Hollywood is a pompous attitude or a constant ranking system of like how many times I felt like I've talked to people that is a big negative here. I feel like there's so many times I'm talking to a person and the whole time they're talking to me, but they're also looking for a cooler person that will benefit their career more to talk to instead. Yeah. So the whole time they're like, yeah,
exactly.
And they're just kind of looking around like, oh, I'm sorry, he's higher up the ladder, we're done here. And I'm like, I don't feel, you know, but that's why I'm happy that there's so many people from Michigan and so many other comics that I know that moved out here, because I don't feel like I have to start over just socially. It's like it feels like there's so many Detroit comics and so many just people in general that I know from Michigan that have moved out here.
That's a good comfort thing, but I don't think that's a good networking thing.
Sure. Yeah, no, it's not good networking, but I don't feel like I have to, you know, some people when they came out here, they moved out here before, like some of the comics that moved out here before the rest of their scene, they had to make friends with people they didn't like, and then that can't feel good to be like, yeah, I fucking hate this guy, but if I don't, but I got to be friends with him. Like, that just has to feel weird.
Yeah.
So that's the awkward thing of comedy is that you need to make friends to advance your career.
Yeah.
And I'm not against meeting new people, but it feels awkward when I can't erase the part of my brain that knows that when I go to a show, whoever's booking the show, I want to do the show. The main reason I'm there is because I want to do the show. But I can't come off like the main reason I'm there. I have to come off like, I just enjoy hanging out. I don't even want to do stand-up. I just want to be here and drink with my buddies. It's like we all have to play pretend when we all are... We all just want to get on the show.
We all just want to get on the show.
But we can't.
It's so fucking true.
But we can't say that. Oh, so why are you here? I just want to get on your show.
I don't know, man. I try to. Early on, I've been like very like upfront with people.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I'm just an awkward guy. Maybe that's just a better way to just be like, yeah, just I'd love to do your show.
That's what I would. That's what I have been doing. I would just mm-hmm. go to a show,
mm-hmm.
hang out,
mm-hmm.
try to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then like at the end, just be like, "Hey, man, you know,
yeah,
if you see a fit for me,
mm-hmm.
I'd love to do it."
Did I tell you? This is just a random story, but it was insane to me. Did I tell you about the white woman that approached me in Houston?
Let's talk about the white woman. Let's talk about that, bro.
I'd say there was like 80 people that came out. It was a big deal to me. I was happy about it. I don't, you know, I've headlined before, but it was my first time really where I headlined out of state where I was like a lot of people came out to see me, you know.
That's great, dude. And, you got a great following.
There was like 40 or so people that I feel like were like, you know, came out to see me. And I was like, I'm happy with that. And so and the show went well and I felt good. And then, the first conversation I have with a person off stage is a white woman who comes up to me and says, is this where I talk about the comedians? And at this point, I didn't even know that that was a bad thing because she didn't even say complain yet. I was like, yeah, I mean, we're all comics on the show. If that's what you mean, you can talk to us. And then she's like, were you the last guy? Who was the last guy up? And I'm like, how do you, you were looking at me for 50 minutes. How do you not know? Seconds ago.
Wouldn't it funny if you were like the only white guy on the whole show? Were you the
only one? No, I wasn't. There was another. Well, but I closed. Who, the host was a black woman.
Who's the white guy
Esther
that closed?
Was a Mexican woman that went up. I was like, yeah, it was a diverse show. It shouldn't have been hard. You literally saw me 30 seconds ago. That's also a big part of it too. And she was, and I was like, that was me. And I still, because it went well, thought she was going to give me a compliment. I still felt good energy. That's why it was so
disarming.
It was so, because she was like, you shouldn't talk about white women anymore. And I laughed. I thought she was joking. I still am like, this isn't real. Cause I talked about white women a good amount, but not everything, anyways. And then I was like, well, I mean, I'm still going to talk about white women, but I would still like to know what makes you feel this way. And then she says, we've been through a lot. We specifically as in white women. And then I just started kind of halfway, not like yelling. It was just because I was still like, felt good, so it was weird. It was just a weird conversation. I was like, when has the government ever been like, fuck white women, black women, you're cool, Asian women, you're fine. But today, in this one instance, like, what's it like? If you thought that I was shitting on women too much,
yeah,
then give me the example of where I was. And so that's why I was trying to go joke for joke. I was like, I was making fun of creepy dudes in this joke. That was insulting the men that are hitting. That was supporting women, not having to deal with creepy dudes. She's like, well, that wasn't a joke. And I was trying to find the joke. And she didn't want to admit what the joke was, but I feel like I still know what the joke was, even though she lied to my face about it.
Do you know what, can you talk about it without?
I can. It's a story. I make fun of the woman. There was a woman in Portland who during the protests got completely naked and faced the police officers. And
I think I remember seeing that
and
picture.
So the whole, you saw the picture, and that's in the joke is just like, you know, there's all these white women that are that posted this article and are like, she's so brave, she is heroic, she is strong, and all the black people that posted it were like, look at this crazy naked white bitch. So it's like, so who are you doing that for? Black people didn't ask for they didn't think that that's a white hilarious. Woman's pussy was going to fix their
exactly,
police issues.
Right.
So who are you doing this for? You know what I mean? So I thought that was like a joke that I was like, that's insulting a specific protester. So even if you're a Republican, and I feel like you could agree that that was fucking dumb. I felt like I didn't see the angle where somebody would come up to me afterwards and be upset. But I think that was it, because that was the more specific towards white women that I talked about.
To me, it just makes me feel like she just probably has.
She said that she's like me. There was a few other women that had to leave, and then
to the bathroom.
And I love when the bookers of shows just like support the comics.
Yeah.
Because afterward, because he'll double down on whatever it is. So like afterwards, I was like, I'm sorry. It looked like she was complaining to you. Like I felt weird, because then she started talking to the guy that ran the show and everything. And he's like, what? I hired you because you hate white women. That's why I booked you. Like, he's just doubling down, that's joking. Great. Like, that's what I like about you.
That's great.
And then I'm like, he's like, I don't care. Everybody had a good time. Fuck those three.
Yeah, for real.
Who cares? You know?
I just think there's some white people right now that feel like how Arabs felt after 9/11. You turned on the news and it was just, now the news is about them.
Yeah.
I don't think they've been used to that.
Wow, that's interesting.
That's why.
I've never been a main character in the news
before. Exactly. Yeah. They turn on the news and now it's like, it's my show. What? This is supposed to be the show about Arabs and black people do fucking up. Why is it about me? Why? Wait a minute. This needs to stop.
I don't like it.
This is not fair.
That's hilarious.
And then black men, Arabs are like, welcome to the club.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I don't want to be in this club.
I don't like this club.
Fuck this club. There's too many black people here.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a bit that I've been like working on into my set, and in my setup was like how like white people, how Arabs and white people have switched in terms of like, you know, now it's not our show anymore. Yeah. You know, it's your show now. I think white people are short-circuiting. White people are not
short-circuiting.
That's what it is, I think. You know who else is short-circuiting?
And I don't think you, I know you said it, but I don't, you know, that was hilarious, and you said it like it was a passing thing.
It is.
Like, I'm just picturing a white.
Yeah, sparks coming out, you know, and I'm like, I'm going to go to this white guy's show and tell him, stop talking about white women, man. You know?
Yeah.
But I think that's what it is, man. I think like right now, like the polarities in how we view race has been switched. So they've like reversed the polarities, and now we're like viewing like white people. Mm-hmm. They're like the main characters of, look what's wrong with the world.
Mm-hmm.
Post 9/11, we were the fucking main characters in that fucking story.
Yeah.
And now it's switched, and I think white people are not able to take that.
Yeah.
And then they're pushing back in ways like that. And also I think it's affecting white liberals also.
Mm-hmm.
You have white liberals who know they're not racist, and some are going too far to show that they're not racist. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So like it's forcing both sides of white people to be like,
What
the fuck is going on? Now I have to signal to the world in a specific way. And one signal is, look, I'm not racist. And the other signal is, hey, you need to stop talking bad about white people.
Yeah, 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 yeah. There's definitely both of those extremes. Those are becoming more common.
I'm finding that more with Israelis too now. Israelis have never really been used to the news looking at them as being the bad guy in that whole conflict story, you know, and it's interesting because I talk,
and then there's people that are like, you're talking trash about Jews, and it's like, no, you're not, you're talking about,
well, there is that,
yeah, you know,
there is
like,
that,
yeah, there's just on, there on is all that. The sides, it's creating an interesting conversation.
There is that, but to me, I like that now it's shifting to a place where now, because Israel, man, listen. They are way too powerful to not be called out on. And like the amount of force that they're able to impose on the Palestinians, as far as what the Palestinians can do to them, it's so lopsided. Yeah, it's like when you're talking about the police and what they do to black people in these poor neighborhoods, right? Mm-hmm. These people are not militarized, but then you have a police force that's, in comparison, militarized.
Yeah.
You look at Israel, it's the same thing. Israel's highly militarized, and these people are working with nothing.
Yeah.
Right? And I think for so long in our media, the story has always been the Palestinians are bad, the Palestinians are bad, the Palestinians are bad. The media has always found a way to, like, you know, let's say Israel does something to provoke the Palestinians, and then the Palestinians go, well, we're going to retaliate, and then they launch a rocket. That's where the news cycle starts here.
Yeah, yeah.
The news cycle starts, you're like, oh, they're throwing rockets. Yeah. What? You know?
It starts at the it's in the middle of the story.
But now with TikTok, Instagram.
You get the whole story.
The story is spreading out so much that now I have.
Yeah, the more that there's social media platforms where just regular people can give their opinion, there's the negative side of it, which is everybody feels their opinion matters. But the good side of it, at least, is it's kind of almost impossible to completely silence.
You can't, a lot of issues. The main media conglomerates are not able to dictate the narrative anymore.
They're not the sole responsible.
Because now they're saying, well, this is what's going on. But then TikTok's like, well, here, we're on the ground in Palestine. This is what's going on. Yeah. Check this out, you know? Yeah. So, and what I'm starting to realize is that Israelis now are starting to feel like that woman. Mm. Where I've talked to one of my Israeli friends, and they were just like, what the fuck, man? Everyone's always hating on Israelis now, and this, that, and the other thing. I'm getting hate mail, and I'm literally to them like, welcome to the club. Come on in, man. We have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
So I like the fact that now you have Israelis going, fuck, do I now have to? Because for so long, Israelis would never sit there and be like, what my country's doing is bad.
Mm-hmm.
You never see that too often. Mm-hmm. And when you do, they're called self-hating Jews, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, that's to me. It's interesting. I think right now it's interesting. Like, white people are acting like this Yemeni guy did at my gas station that I used to go to before 9/11. He was just some Yemeni guy. After 9/11, every day he had a different America shirt on. Every day a different America shirt. America, America with the eagle, America with the Constitution.
I love America more than you.
Yeah, yeah.
It says it
America
on
with
shirt.
The Constitution and the eagle. Then he had a shirt that was like white, conservative, proud. I'm like, bro.
Picture of just beloved white people. Just a picture of like Tom Hanks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just some white guy from Taylor. He's my friend. I know this guy. For real, though. I mean, that's to me, it's really interesting to see how human beings, like, how we cope with being maybe the bad guy of the situation, or if we feel like we're the bad guy of the situation.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, that's true. Because, yeah, there's definitely some white people that are like, they're not used to.
They're not equipped.
Yeah.
Not equipped with being able to handle this. Yeah. Oh, shit, I'm the bad person now?
Yeah. Because it's like a post I shared recently that of just like a tweet somebody had that's like, for so long, white people were taught to grow up believing like they were the default person. Like, this is what I'm an American. Bro. I can just say American, and it means a white guy. But if you say African-American, or you say, you know what I mean? Then you specify for all the other groups. They're used to just socially being the default character. So then it's like...
Do you want to talk about this meme, that Pocahontas meme?
Oh, God, sure. I'll talk about that.
I'm going to share this on the screen real quick so everybody to see. So, yeah, right here. It's basically, it's a picture of some girl. Seems like she might be a white girl. And then next to her is a picture from Pocahontas, the cartoon. And, you know, they both side by side kind of look like they're facing in the same direction. The hair's kind of... So it's almost like you're looking at it like, oh, this might be the same. And then at the top it says, does my friend look like Pocahontas? And a black guy named Billy J. White said, nah, she looked like the people that took her land, though. Just fucking funny.
But yeah. I thought it was funny too, didn't even say it. I just shared a thing that I thought was funny, and then somebody messaged me who took it in an entirely different way than I think the vast majority of the public took it. The vast majority took it as, this is a white woman who wants to pretend as if her, like, you know, other people's culture is just there for her beauty standards. You know what I mean? Of like on some, it's like, no, that's, it's not there for you to feel pretty. You know what I mean? Like, don't use Pocahontas as some thing like that. Like that, you know, and it's like, that's what it meant to me. And I thought that people took a various version of that of like, no, you're white. You don't get to call yourself Pocahontas. And a woman who said that she's native and she's seen a lot of colorism towards them where there are some that look white, but they, you know, maybe a cop will treat them like they're a white person, but they still have the generational wealth of somebody who the white man's fucked over historically.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, so they get shitted on. So then I started arguing with her of like, wait a second. So are you saying that I can never shit on a white woman just in case they might actually be Native American?
Oh my God, that's right.
Just in case?
I read the thread that you said. The point that she was making was kind of stupid.
It was that I'm just like, I believe that colorism exists. I don't believe that that meme contributes to colorism unless you mistake the intent of the meme. So you can add your own meaning to whatever you want, but if everybody else just read it and was like, that's white women trying to take credit for shit, they just moved on and they laughed about their day, and you're somebody that says that I read it differently, then I'm like, you know, I'm sorry that it offended you, but I mean,
do you respond to dummies?
Everybody
like this,
can
bro?
Respond differently. Sometimes it's fun, but then I think
sometimes it's informative. Informative.
And then sometimes I'm like, this will be informative, and then it just turns into me being angry, and then Esther, my girlfriend, she's just like, I'm like showing her drafts of like, she's like, no, you shouldn't respond at all. She's saying it like you. And then I'm just like, all right, well, what if I only tell him fuck you this way though? And
yeah.
She's like, no, I'm just like, all right, what if I just imply that I hate him?
Yeah.
But I sound, and she's just like, no, just don't message him.
Dick pic? No. Take a picture of my booty. No.
What if I just ha ha their comment?
No.
And then
Trump 2020? Yes. Do that. That'll piss them off. Because for sure that person's liberal.
Yeah, because she was bringing up Elizabeth Warren and how Trump called her Pocahontas. And I was like, I get why somebody would be offended by that if they're a Native American. But let's not pretend. But if we're looking at the same picture, it's like, but Elizabeth Warren still lied about being Native American, though, right?
Exactly.
Like, so even if she should have got a different insult,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to defend her mm-hmm. when she identified as a person of color,
right?
And she's a white woman.
Right.
She took jobs from women of color right. as a white woman,
right.
And we're going to be like, but she got called a mean thing, so now I'm on her side. I'm like, I'm not saying you should hate her, but nobody's perfect, so we need to stop putting these people
exactly.
on this, like, everything they do is the right decision.
Exactly.
It's like, I don't know, why don't we say fuck your history and your faults, but hopefully you're better now. Yeah, I don't know. I'm willing to look past people's faults. I'm not willing to ignore them.
Yeah. Look, Dave, I'm putting this back up on the screen. It's just funny. It's just funny, man.
It was just, yeah.
You know how you should have got back to her and been like, hey, don't come at me. Go after that black guy that fucking did that. See, his name is right there.
His name is right
He's
there.
He's at 9021 Ho. That's his handle. 9021 Ho, which is pretty yeah. clever. And hit him up and see how he comes at you. Oh, yeah. We should get both of them on the podcast.
This is the thing that I found the most funny about the situation is that, so she DM'd me
yeah.
and said, this is how I feel. And then I'm like, okay, I respond. I say, this is how I feel.
Yeah.
And we have a back and forth conversation.
Yeah.
And then at some point, she just said, I'm not going to read that. You're libsplaining me.
I saw that.
And I'm just like, wait, I understand that mansplaining and libsplaining. I get it. But that doesn't apply if you initiated the conversation. I'm just replying to you. I'm not DMing you saying, well, actually, you're wrong because insert liberal quote here. That's libsplaining. I'm not coming at you. You said this. I said that. I'm replying to the shit you said. And now you're just, you. That's what I mean by earlier when I was like,
the quickest way to end that was
like,
refer to black man. I thought to that guy.
Yeah. I just tag him.
I can't do that.
I just tag him.
Yeah. Oh, that'd have been great.
Talk to this guy. Tell him.
He wouldn't be that nice. That's a great thing about being like black in this country, man. You can just, you can go off on people, man. Just go off. Yeah, bro. The fucking Ronald Green thing. I can't fucking believe that shit, bro.
Yeah.
What do you think, man, is going to be like the solution? Do you really think saying all cops are bad is a solution?
I don't think it's a solution.
Do you like that term at all?
Oh, yeah, you brought that up earlier. I think I went on a tangent or something.
Yeah, we went on a few tangents. And then we yelled at each other for, like, Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah. I don't think that all cops are bad. And I might even think that it's not beneficial to say that all cops are bad. But I don't think so either. But I still think that the responsibility to change that is through the cops. I don't think that I can blame the people the cops have historically shit on and say, look, I know they're not all fucking pieces of shit. And they're like, sure, but enough of them are pieces of shit. And they don't even care about being called pieces of shit. Like, they get, it's like, when, to me, what upsets me is that I see more police get upset at the phrase fuck the police or all cops are bad than why they're saying those things. It's like, why are these people upset? You know what I mean?
The thing is, like, I talked to some of my police friends. They know why. And I talked to them. Like, I remember after this whole riot thing happened and then the all cops are bad started popping off, I had to call a couple of my friends that are cops just to talk with them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And especially after George Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it was... it's so funny how the media and how we were able to polarize this thing, because everyone was against Derek Chauvin. Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Every cop, a person that I knew, like my buddy, I called him. He told me straight up. He goes, "That guy tarnished my profession. Like, he really fucked it up." And, like, I've called on other times where these guys would be like, "Oh no, yeah, that was really fucked up."
So is it unions that's protecting them? Why are they scared to come forward? Because they don't say that publicly.
There's a culture, man. That's what I'm saying. That's what
I mean. You have to be willing to...
The culture needs to change somehow. People are like, and if I don't know
forward,
how to do that,
I'll be fired. And I'm like, if other people come forward, they might die. You might have to lose your job, motherfucker. You're a grown man.
So here's the thing.
Who cares? Like, I don't feel bad when police officers say, I would lose my job if I step forward. Then I think you have to lose your job, because that means you got a shitty job. If that's what that means, and
it's easy for you to say. Here's the thing, though.
If you are an adult that's capable of being a cop, you are also an adult capable of putting food on your kid's table in a million other ways. There's
but what if you don't want to do that?
Then fucking cry me a fucking river, pussy.
Here we go. I'm going to use your analogy against you. Stop fucking hitting the damn camera, bro. You use the analogy of you could not control what the meat industry is going to do as a whole. So the thing that you could control is to be a vegan. If you can't control how animals are actually being used in this horrendous factory farming scheme that we have to feed all these people, what you said was, is that I would have to do what I can do only in my little microcosm of what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I talked to my cop buddy, it was funny. He was saying the same thing.
Yeah.
I asked him. I was like, now in his department, he doesn't have a union.
Mm-hmm.
So they're able to call each other out.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that at the end of the day, if he was at a police station that had a union like that, you would have to come to a crossroads of, do I call this cop out, lose my job, that cop never gets fired?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I shut the hell up and be loyal to my beat and the people that I know in this community?
Mm-hmm.
Some of these police officers, the places that they're policing, they love where they police. They know the people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, my buddy knows everyone in that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those beats.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, to tell him to just get a pizza job after he's been there for so long and he knows everyone in that neighborhood and he feels so good every day waking up and being able to protect this beat that he's been working on for a really long time. He's already did the groundwork. The people in the area know him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that community will lose a good cop. What if... you know, he gets gone, and then the cop that has to do that community was the guy he was trying to call out, who still is working.
Sure.
So where do you draw the line?
I guess to me, I just don't... There are obviously good cops, but I think that it's naive to assume that somebody can change... To me, veganism is helping a problem by not contributing towards it. And in being a police officer, it's a little different, where it's like you're trying to help the problem by contributing to the problem. I think there's too many police officers. I don't think we need as many. I think that we increase the number. I believe that they create more conflict by overly policing cities. And I think a lot of them are, a lot of good ones are overworked, because defunding is also something that I care about, because it's like there's police officers that just literally, it's not their fault. They're a police officer. They're not a psychiatrist. They're not a social worker. That's not their job.
They shouldn't be doing shit.
They shouldn't be doing that stuff. It's like I see people every year. There's like some. It's funny. There's a deaf person that's getting murdered by the police because they're so stupid that they didn't. They're like, no, he can't hear you. He's not disobeying you. He's doing sign language. He's not reaching for a gun. He's doing sign language. You know what I mean? Like there's people with autism. There's people with all these spectrums where there's police officers that aren't trained to know how to interact with these people in hostile situations. And it's like, we're giving them jobs. When we fostered some kittens from the police. Somehow the police were involved. And that's what I'm talking about. And I'm like, this defunding the police thing ain't no joke. Somehow there's a police officer is a part of the process in Burbank. Burbank shelter is connected to. It's connected to the police of Burbank. I'm like I don't think that was necessary for a cat operation. I think we need to rethink some things. So I just don't think that all of the ways to change the. You know, there are police that are good police officers in the communities that they're in, and I'm sure they do a lot of benefits. And I don't think that we should, act as if every single individual police officer is bad. But I at least agree with the frustration of people that are like, wake me up when people care more about lives than their jobs, because people are getting killed because of bad police officers. So if you aren't willing to speak up for it because you'll lose your job, you know, I can at least, I understand people's frustration in that, where they're like, okay, so you not wanting to be a pizza delivery guy means somebody that I love might be killed. Those are extreme examples, obviously, but I think I can understand why some people might feel that way, because they're.
I just think the term defunding the police is very.
They got too much money.
It's
like police officers care about how much money they get, and it's like, stop buying all these goddamn gadgets. Don't need a tank.
Here's the thing.
You guys are shitty with your money. But you'd have more money if you knew how to fucking use it.
Defunding, the term defunding really, 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 it sends the wrong message. Even to people who, like me, when I heard it, I had the pragmatic view like you did. Mm. Oh, yeah, let's just lean it out a little bit. Mm-hmm. And put more money in the more important things, like training them and psychological evaluations. And
so, sure, refunding probably could have been a better
restructuring the police.
Like, I'm sure there's a million different brands that could have been done better. But it just reminds me of, and I'm sure there are people that's why they're thrown off, is because they misinterpret what it is because of the branding of it. But then I just believe that there would be some people that it's like, I fully believe that if the Black Lives Matter movement. If it started when none of this existed, there was no Black Lives Matter movement at all. If they started their branding by saying all lives matter, if that's what they came out as saying, if they were like, we're just going to say all lives matter so we can point out the part that it doesn't seem like Black lives have been mattering as much to a lot of people in this country. If that was what their name was, I still think white people would have been like, oh, but you don't mean all lives. Why didn't you say? I still think people would find a problem with it. Like, the people that are strongly against something will sometimes use the
branding. And I think branding, that's the polarization of the two-party system
They'll use the branding as a way to hate something before.
I think we fall victim to this polarization.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we could really find a way to have more viable parties. Six.
Yeah.
Like most countries.
Oh my God. Yeah. People laugh at like what in other countries, what we even think liberal is. They're like, the, you know what I mean? Like a liberal would be in the would be in the center in some places. They're like, no, we just get health care because we're born and we came out of a vagina.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're like, the fact that what you got, they're like, Bernie Sanders would be a fucking Republican in some other fucking country.
Probably. For real, like, man.
So it's funny when people, options would only be a better thing, in my opinion.
Yeah. I don't know, man. But back to the defunding, man. Aside from how that whole term is fucked up and just really causes confusion and whatever, no tanks for the police. Just we don't need you to have, these, like, you know, we don't need you to be militarized.
Yes, and they're not trained with the militarized gear.
And not like only people that, talk about how looked at as stormtroopers. Yes. We shouldn't look at you like you're stormtroopers. We should get to a point where we normalize our relationship with you, where we feel like you are part of us, and part of this community, and you're here for our benefit. Not to say that they're not here for our benefit. But it doesn't the way seem like it feels,
sure,
especially the way a lot of their cop cars are designed and so on and so forth, there's this like fear, like this heart palpitation inducing fear when you see a cop car where it needs to change, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, like this psychiatrist made a very good point. She was like, they should be mandatory bi-monthly psych evals of police officers. That it's mandatory.
It should be.
And then, but you know why she says she should be mandatory? Not because of the actual psych eval, but because it reduces the stigma of having to get it. She goes, because a lot of cops are macho.
Yeah. And I'm not crazy.
And if you end up going to see the psychiatrist, everyone in the department knows you went to see the shrink after that shooting.
Yeah.
And then now you might have to deal with the stigma of however these guys are going to handle that, right?
Yeah.
But if it's mandatory biweekly, you can slip in your problems in those biweekly things and actually get some help that you need.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. I don't think that it's wrong for people to some people wait till there is an issue before, and I think that somebody told me that him and his wife were going to like marriage counseling, and he was like, he told me I'm excited for it. Like, there's a lot of people that view therapy or counseling or just anything in that
like
nature
you lost.
As like, yeah, as you lost, and it's like, but what if you just don't want a bad thing to happen? So you just, you're doing this to prevent an issue. This is like, he's like, to me, this is like just getting my car checked on a regular basis. I'm not waiting for it to fucking explode before I try to fix the problem.
Right.
So if you can check in on somebody's mental health on a more regular basis, not only does it get rid of the stigma, but it can help somebody before some issues can come up.
I just think there's some like a lot of good ideas that are coming out from people. I just hope we fucking implement that shit,
just,
bro.
Just one. Just any of them. Doesn't
just
it feel like that?
One of them.
That you just hear all these good ideas and then they all just get shot down one at a time where you're like, yeah.
It just seems like we got too much information coming at us and we don't know how to fucking handle it.
And then
we have these polarized politicians that just play good cop, bad cop with us. And that's all they fucking do nonstop, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and they're like, but what about, you're the good cop now, but what about when you were the bad cop? And they're like, I didn't, next question.
What are you talking about? What do you mean? Yeah. Remember when you were bad Hulk Hogan?
Here's a video of you being bad Hulk Hogan.
No, that's not me. Who's that? Well, I don't wear black. It's like he did like Just for Men on his beard. What, weird? I didn't fucking want my beard looking like that. No, I'm the good Hogan. That's alternate universe Hogan. I don't know who that is.
That's funny. Yeah, they all do.
Well, this is 2 hours, bro. We should fucking wrap this up, man.
All right.
This was fun, bro.
This was fun.
Was there anything else you wanted to bring up real quick?
No.
Any show dates, bro?
This is live.
This is live. So, like, right now, this is June 8th, 2021. So, if you're hearing this on the audio podcast, it might be a little bit after.
All right. This Thursday, I'm doing a show called Chirpin' Turf. And where is that at? Somebody might ask. Stand-up comedy outside. It's in Burbank. And I'll be promoting that on my social media. And at Jeff Horst, JeffHorste, at all social media. So I got some shows in L.A. I'm headlining a brewery next Thursday.
The brewery?
What brewery? Some brewery somewhere. Jacked Up Brewery in Escondido. So, yeah, and I'm doing Chocolate Sundays on the 27th at the Laugh Factory.
Oh, nice, dude. That's so hard to get on.
Mm-hmm.
This is your first time doing that?
No.
That's not an easy show to get on, bro.
Mm-hmm. But I will be back in Michigan. I don't have exact shows scheduled at this time. I have a couple, but I'll be back in Michigan July, like, 27th through, like, August 6th. So it'll be like a couple of weeks, like the end of July, beginning of August, I'll be back in Michigan. So I'm getting back on the road. So I will update my shows. I'm going to be in Ann Arbor in September.
Showcase?
Yeah.
I still haven't done that club, bro.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's really hard to open up to Roger for some reason.
He can be an awkward man.
Yeah.
He's a quiet man that, like, a lot of people, his quietness and awkwardness, they assume that he hates them.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
That's like, probably why I don't go there anymore.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, he doesn't hate you. That's his default face. It's just how he is.
I got to try to find a way to get on his radar, man.
Yeah, he's very, like, he likes to see people in person or, you know what I mean? I feel like he does a lot of his stuff in person instead of just word of mouth or, you know, through email or something.
Right. Well, let me do my shows real quick. So this weekend I'm doing Wiley's June 11th to 12th. Comedy Castle, I'm now sharing the stage with Ron White. So I was headlining 5 shows. Now he's going to be headlining the first 3 shows, and then I'll be headlining the last 2 shows of that weekend.
All right.
So definitely come out to that. I would definitely come out to both. Come out to see me 2 times. But I'll be opening up for him, and then on the first 3 shows, so I'll be doing a half hour then, and then on Saturday I'll be doing 2 shows where I'll be doing an hour. I'll be headlining both of those shows. Listen, Ron White comes into town, man. You're getting bumped.
Yeah.
That's just how it works.
That's how that's going
to
work.
Jason Bacon says, where is Ron White going to be? Ron White is going to be on those dates that you see up top where it says June. Let me put it over here. June 11th to the 12th. There it is. No, June 17th to the 19th. I'll be at the Comedy Castle. I was supposed to headline all those spots, but now I'll be doing it with Ron White for the first 3 shows. Yes, at Mark Ridley's. And then the following weekend, June 25, 26, I'll be at Gutty's in Indiana. And then the Jewish Ensemble Theater, June 27th. I'm also going to be doing 313 Comedy.
Shit. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Fun room.
Yeah, I love Kyle. Kyle's great. And then I'm coming back to the West Coast. June 30th, I'm doing Supernova in Hollywood. And then the Madhouse, July 2nd and 3rd, San Diego. And then Laughs Unlimited, July 16th to 17th. All dates are on my website, Mike from Detroit.com. Still trying to get used to putting up. There you go. So I'm Mike from Detroit and everything. Also, follow me on TikTok. I ain't doing shit on that. on that, but whatever I do post, it's, you know, it's fun. I've been doing some fun stuff, but I'm trying to be more consistent with it. So much fucking going on.
I forgot. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I was just gonna say I forgot that because I haven't confirmed the exact dates, but the first couple weeks of December I'll be I'm doing a tour all around Florida, so I'm gonna make sure I don't talk about politics and go all around, but it's a tour all around.
You're going to do a tour around Florida? You're not going to do
Florida
any
tour, yeah.
You're not going to do any, hey, black people, white people, right? Yeah.
You know, I might talk about race. But I don't, in my act already, I don't like shit on Republicans. It just coincidentally, they might not like it.
I was shitting on Republicans
but,
last
like,
year.
But
I had that one Trump joke that was fun.
Yeah.
It was a fun joke where he dies in the joke. But I did that all across Florida, and everyone laughed at that joke except one show.
Ah.
One show in Sarasota, Florida. The first show at the same club, I got a fucking applause break. I was like, this is weird. Second show, it's like they all got the memo.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I did that joke, they're like, we're not laughing at any more of your fucking jokes, you piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have fun in Florida, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking
forward to it.
So yeah, guys. And then tomorrow, I'm doing a live... 2 o'clock, as always, Wednesdays, 2 p.m. I'll be going live by myself, talking about, you know, Jeff Horst behind his back.
I'm going to be watching it. I'm going to be commenting.
I don't do that. I don't do that. If I do, I always like, sometimes I'll bring something up that I highlight that I liked, you know, but this was a good conversation, dude.
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it a lot, bro. You're fucking hilarious.
Thanks, man. You dude. Too.
And you're you know, the shit that you're doing, man, is fucking great, bro. You're very consistent on like really teaching everybody about, you know, the privileges of being white, and you know, but it's good though, man, because we need more people. Just like we were talking about, we need more police officers to start going, hey, this shit is fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we need more Israelis to be like, hey, yo, this shit is fucked up. Same thing like we need more Arabs to be standing up for stuff, you know, like women's rights or whatever the case may be. It's just, it's good to see someone really sticking up and using the platform that, because whatever race and creed you are, now you have a platform to say whatever you want about that race or creed, right?
Yeah.
And it's very important to have people like you like that, bro. So
thank you, man.
Appreciate, I appreciate it, brother.
Thank you.
All right, my man.
All right.
Till next time. Guys, I'll see you tomorrow at 2 p.m. Follow Jeff Horst on everything at Jeff Horst. I'll see you guys next time. Thank you.
Public Yemeni number one.